Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
The Joyce Kaufman Podcast is being brought to you by Code Red Roofers, South Florida's leading residential and commercial roof experts. Code Red Roofers, roofers that respond. Call 844-4-CODE-RED or visit coderedroofers.com.
Sometimes I just have to roll my eyes. You can't even say anything because when you predicted that things like this would happen, everybody made fun of you. Yeah, and they said, oh, no, you're being an alarmist. I love when I get emails from people and they just lie. You know, oh, I used to have so much respect for you. No, you never had any respect for me. You know, don't lie. Or I can't believe you said this, but you've been listening to me for years. Then you believe it because it's nothing unusual for me to say that. But they lie, you know, and I just chuckle. But a couple of years ago, when we first had this influx of the Minnesota and Michigan Islamist congresspersons, I said, this is going to be very interesting. Watch carefully. And sure enough, Minnesota Representative Ilhan Omar's daughter, Isra Hirsi, was suspended from Barnard College because she's been involved in these anti-Israel protests on the campus of Columbia University. And Columbia, by the way, is under a microscope right now. The president was testifying on Capitol Hill because the anti-Semitism at Columbia, which happens to have been my daughter's and my father's alumni, they are alumni from Columbia. You know, it's embarrassing how anti-Semitic that university has become, that college has become. So she says, oh, I'm an organizer with CU Apartheid Divest, whatever that means, you know, Students for Justice in Palestine, all these organizations. I've never been reprimanded. I've never received any disciplinary warnings, probably because your mother's a congresswoman. Just saying. But now we can't ignore it anymore. When you're shutting down campuses and when you're taking over dean's offices. Now, trust me, I did this stuff. But we understood that it was illegal and we could get arrested when we did it. And often were arrested. Of course, then we were protesting the war in Vietnam or we were protesting animal, cruelty in the laboratories. We weren't protesting Jews. I don't know what made her think that was going to fly forever. So she and two other students, Mariam Iqbal and Saf Dinu, received notice of their suspension from Barnard Dean Leslie Greenidge first thing this morning. And the decision is based on information received from Columbia University Public Safety that you have been involved in an unauthorized encampment on the Columbia University campus and you have not ceased participation in this unauthorized encampment despite repeated requests from Barnard and Columbia. You're still doing it. Okay. There were three other people arrested overnight in their tent protest on the Morningside campus. I'm looking at pictures of my daughter's alma mater. Unfortunately, she's probably not unhappy with this, but I am. There are three kids that Ilhan Omar shares with her ex-husband, Ahmed Hirsi. And all of them are defiant protesters, and they will not be intimidated. We will stand resolute until our demands are met. What are your demands? That all Jews be killed? I'm really not sure. This is a girl who describes herself on X, formerly known as Twitter. This is her description of herself. I am an angry black girl. That's how she sees herself. And I don't like Jews. She doesn't say that, but that's the truth. Ilhan Omar, of course, is a Democrat serving in the House, although she's no longer serving on the Foreign Affairs Committee, thank goodness, because she kept making anti-Semitic comments. It's all about the Benjamins. You know, it's amazing. And I said to people when she got elected and when Rashida Tlaib got elected, I said, these people hate this country. They don't just dislike some of our policies. They actually hate this country. They hate everything we stand for. They hate Western civilization. You know, they're all about the rights of the minorities. Meanwhile, try being a woman in the countries they come from. Maybe you should go back to Somalia and see how it is. Maybe you think you can get elected to public office in Somalia? Probably not. But they don't, you know, they don't answer those kinds of questions. They call you a racist if you even ask them. How does someone who has only served in Congress for a couple of years and didn't start out wealthy, by the way, afford to send a kid to Barnard? Because I sent a kid to Columbia. You're talking now $82,000 a year for tuition, room, and board every year for her daughter. I'm just curious. If you're making just about $200,000 a year and you have three kids all be going to college, you really paying that kind of money? No. You know what you're doing? You're getting debt financing, which you got to keep Joe Biden in office so he'll forgive the debt. Once again, all I can tell you is the rotten apple doesn't fall very far from the rotten tree. And if I were the leadership at Barnard, I'd say, I just have a question to ask you. Why don't you go to college in Mogadishu? Why would you want to join a racist American institution when you can go to Mogadishu? You can live in Somalia. Because you're not crazy, that's why. Oh, Lord. Now they got two jurors have been dismissed from the Donald Trump jury pool, or actual, they had been seated. And what did I say yesterday? Not that I'm prophetic, but I am. But I said to everyone, they're giving a lot of details out about these jurors. Is that smart? Well, apparently, not so smart. And one of the jurors said, guess what? I want off. I can't be fair. And they're starting to come around my workplace. And you get the press gave a lot of descriptions of us, and not just what we do for a living, but where we do it, what our age is, and all that kind of stuff. So Kat, as one of them's name, she said, I want off. And they let her off. I can't be fair. Of course you can't be fair. But can you be honest? That is really the question. There are two lawyers that have been seated on this jury. And you've got to ask yourself this question. Don't lawyers have an obligation to at least look at the case in a manner that's fair? Well, I would think so. But I'm not banking on that either. And I don't think anybody should. I think we're going to see a conviction or a mistrial. Now, I heard Dan Bongino, he's calling for an overturned conviction at the appellate level and maybe even going all the way to the Supreme Court. I'd hate to see that. I really would. I'd much rather right now see this thing come to a screeching halt and the American people get some of their, well, maybe just a little bit of their faith in our justice system restored. Anybody think that's going to happen? So the trial judge, this Mershon, is now scolding the media because they had to dismiss these two jurors. And he said, oh, you're reporting too much information. Why don't you use your common sense? They live in New York. How much common sense do you think they have? Just saying. I mean, I was born and raised there, but I don't live there. So he scolded the press for reporting on identifying information about the jurors in the case. And after all the arduous work of constructing a fair jury, 7 of 18 jurors have been selected. But one of those 7, actually now 2, have been dismissed over fairness concerns early this morning. According to MSNBC contributor Adam Classfield, he told the reporters that reporting on too much background information about the jurors defeats the purpose of anonymity, which is supposed to insulate them from outside pressure and protect their safety. Now, the press is certainly able and permitted to write about anything that's on the record because it's on the record, but I'm directing that the press simply applies common sense. The press and common sense don't go very well together. I've never placed them in the same sentence personally, so maybe Judge Mershon needs a little more education with the press. You wanted a big jury with press and all that stuff? Okay. A number of media outlets have towed the line on the jurors. ABC ran a story headline, "Who are the first seven jurors of Trump's historic criminal trial?" that went on to reveal information about where the jurors live, what they do for work, everything you need to know about them. You believe it? They were tweeting out, like, their addresses. Brilliant. Slate, The Washington Post, and Axios all ran similar stories telling, all I heard was this one's a nurse, an oncology nurse, and this one's a lawyer, and this one, you know, did this. And I said to you all yesterday, how's that going to work? Can't have an anonymous jury that people are following around. But that's what we got. Mark my words. The opportunity for a mistrial in this case is enormous. And this case is so weak to begin with that really it won't take brilliant lawyering, but he does have some pretty smart lawyers. So we'll see. So much to talk about. When I look at what's going on in the Middle East, there's two things that I want to say. First, to anyone who was listening to my show yesterday, when I talked about the fact that we don't trust anything that our government does anymore, I meant that. I stand on that. So when I hear crazy stories about the potential of a president actually participating in the planning or green lighting an attack against an ally, yeah, I believe that's possible. Absolutely. Do I think it happened? No. But I think it's possible. And that's pretty scary that I now live in a country that once was the gold standard for integrity, and it's now not. So we'll see. A lot more will be revealed. And one of the things that I'm really glad about is the people that we have sent from our area to Washington are doing their jobs. They're trying to do their jobs. It's virtually impossible. Can't even have an impeachment trial. No, no. Chuck Schumer shut that down quickly. How do they get away with it? But Rick Scott got in his face. It's a good thing. You know, instead of hiring more Border Patrol agents, they hired more Internal Revenue Service agents, Rick Scott pointed out. As I would say if I was in the room with the former governor, bravo. Well done. All right, don't forget to download the 850 WFTL app on your cell phone or on your laptop, or visit the website 850WFTL.com. Go there pretty regularly. You could win yourself some passes to the Sunfest in May. That's a cool, cool musical festival, and you can get a four-pack if you win the contest, but you can't do it if you don't have the app or you don't go to the website, 850WFTL.com. Let me take a quick break. I'll be right back. So every morning when I wake up, I try to, you know, just find one story that has some humor to it. It may not be out and out funny, but just a little bit of humor so that I don't have to start the day in agony. It's the only way I can describe it, right? If I have to be talking about the unfairness of the way the Department of Justice will go after certain people and not go after other people, it gives me a headache and a stomach ache, both at the same time. So I found this story on BPR this morning that said that AOC, she's always good for a laugh. That's the one thing about AOC, is I can find an AOC story that'll crack me up. This one was her actually applauding some drag queen that showed up in the halls of Congress dressed like a tree. Now, you're probably sitting there thinking, oh, that's ridiculous. you know, what's the actual story? No, no, no. That is the actual story. The New York Democrat goes on after a post that was on X, formerly known as Twitter, where a Bloomberg congressional reporter named Stephen Dennis shared a photo from the Senate basement. And literally, he took a picture of this drag queen dressed like a tree. I mean, branches and leaves and the whole nine yards, okay? Pretty cool pair of boots up to the knee that look like the base of a tree, as a matter of fact. But people started, like, just joking about it. It was funny when they saw this picture on X. AOC rushes in to rescue the reporter from Bloomberg, this Dennis guy, and said, "That's not just some tree. That's a queen." And put a bunch of crown emojis and tree emojis on her. And when you first look at her response, you have to ask yourself, is this actually the AOC, you know, is this her actual, what do you call it now, X-Files, Twitter handle? No, no, no. Maybe it's a parody. Nope, this is a real AOC. And it says, "That's not just someone, that's a queen. I know Patty Gunia when I see her, and you all just aren't put on to their genius yet. Wonderful artist and really impressive work in climate, LGBT plus advocacy, and racial justice." Now, if someone could tell me in 20 words or less, what does climate, LGBTQ plus advocacy, and racial justice have to do with anything? How are they intersectional? Wonderful artist, really impressive work. Are you kidding me? This is the fact that you know who this person is, AOC, is frightening to me. She happens to have been just awarded the National Geographic Traveler of the Year Award. And if you look at a picture of this creature, I have to call it a creature. It's got this big reddish wig on, eyelashes that are, I don't know, 4 inches long, and a mustache. Yeah. Yeah. Like, are queens supposed to have mustaches, or are they supposed to actually look? She has a pink wig, and she glues branches to herself. And we have a congresswoman in the squad who thinks that's genius. Really? She is not a serious person. And she's serving. I legitimately thought it was her parody account when I looked at it today. But I did get to start the day with a smile. There she was pandering to a person who dressed up like a tree. You know, and I guess AOC was trying to prove that she will say or do anything to stay in Congress. And there was Kathleen Anderson, somebody had posted, "When a clown moves into a castle, the clown doesn't become a king, but rather the palace becomes a circus." But of course, Donald Trump is the problem. When you see a dude who's pretending to be a woman put branches all over themselves, you probably should back away from making any comments, because there's nothing genius about that. What makes a person a genius would be if you look at their jobs and accomplishments, right? Like when you look at Elon Musk, you say, oh, he's a genius. You know, EV cars, SpaceX, doing things on a level that most of us can only imagine. But AOC, this is just a person who really needs some therapy. And the queen, this Patty Gunia, whatever, really needs some therapy. And it's just virtually impossible to figure out what her real account is and what her parody account is, because they're both equally bizarre. Then I saw a couple of different opinion pieces about the firing of, or actually now he has resigned, Yuri Berliner from NPR, a business editor, very smart dude, who literally was suspended for 5 days without pay because he dared to say that perhaps NPR is too biased to present news fairly. And he still likes his colleagues from NPR, and he still wishes they could do their jobs and not, you know, lose their funding from the government. But all I can tell you is now's the time to take away their funding, because this is nonsense. This is crazy that the CEO of NPR now is a person who wanders around with, you know, Biden hats on and claiming absolute fairness in the newsroom. But if somebody mentions that there seems to be a liberal bias, they will get suspended. Fair. That's fair? Who thinks that's fair? Anybody? Raise your hand if you think that's fair. And if you do, then you probably would also dress up like a tree and walk through the halls of Congress in a pink wig and wearing a tree dress, or whatever it is that this creature. I mean, if you see the picture, go look online. Just search for this picture of this person with this pink wig and a mustache, dressed up like a tree, walking around Congress. A sheer genius. That I was told this was a genius by AOC. So one genius spotted the other genius in the halls of Congress. Anyway, time for me to take a break. Stay right where you are. We're going to talk about what looks like a June Fed rate hike. That risk is right out there. And of course, it's not helping the Biden campaign at all, is it? No, nothing is. And guess who's leading right now in national polls, including the Pew Research poll? It would be Donald Trump, who is not even able to campaign successfully, although everything he does is free media. Quick break. I'll be right back.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
So I saw the FBI director, Christopher Wray, told a group of nationwide security officials yesterday that they're on alert, high alert, for potential threats to the Jewish community in the United States. Mm-hmm. We at the Bureau remain particularly concerned that lone actors could target large gatherings, high-profile events, or symbolic or religious locations for violence, particularly a concern, of course, as we look at the start of Passover on Monday evening. But all you're going to hear about is, oh my God, at the beginning of Ramadan, were they providing enough protection at the mosques? No, the problem is at the synagogues. The anti-Jewish hate crime investigations are truly legion right now. And ever since October 7th, you're looking at some pretty crazy stuff going on when it comes to calling for actions against Jews. I'm going to share with you, the Free Press had an article, I think it was, you know, I should have written it down a little more clearly. I think it was Wiseman, Oliver Wiseman. I'm not sure who wrote this article, but it's incredibly, it's profound. And this is what it says. In a room full of 450 far-left activists, a leader with the Freedom Road Socialist Organization kicks off a chant, "Protest is a right, not just for the rich and white. Have you heard that the Democratic National Convention is coming to Chicago? The crowd is asked by some guy named Joe Iosbaker. Are we going to let them come here without a protest? This is Chicago, GD it, and we've got to give them a 1968 kind of welcome. Well, I don't know how many of you were around in 1968, but I was. It was my very first political action, and I was still a kid, in my teens, when the Democratic Convention in Chicago took place. And it was a bloodbath. There were 600 arrests in one of the street battles that was broadcast all over the world. So this group that met in Chicago last Saturday at the local headquarters of the Teamsters Union wants to repeat history when Joe Biden gets named the presidential nominee at the DNC convention in August. They oppose the president. They call him Genocide Joe because he backed Israel in the war against Hamas. You see, Israel, that was responding to a bloodbath by Hamas, had a momentary backing by this president, and that just freaked them all out. Genocide Joe, they call him. If we don't get a permit, are we going to march? He asked the crowd, and they all said, yeah. Are we still going to march within sight and sound, or are we going to let Genocide Joe come here and not hear us and see us? No. From Chicago to Palestine, protesting is not a crime. Over a single day, the March on DNC for conference gathered 75 separate organizations to discuss how they plan to disrupt the convention. Now, I probably shouldn't care at all. I should probably be ecstatic that the Democratic National Convention is going to be rife with protests. Because let me tell you something about the Republican National Convention. There'll be protests there. All these anti-Trump people. Although I'm not sure if Donald Trump will be able to go there. Depends on where they are in trials, right? But imagine that the activists in America today are actually prepping and giving pep talks about duplicating what was one of the most bloody protests in my life. They had Jerry Boyle, an attorney and volunteer for the National Lawyers Guild, which is a nonprofit organization that acts as the legal arm of social movements and the conscience of the legal profession. He gave a pep talk on Know Your Power and Overwhelm the Police. We're going to tell you your rights. Think of it more about power and the risk you present to the police. Look out for police carrying mass arrest kits, which he says contain supplies like a bunch of flex cuffs and all the paperwork for a bust. I'm not here to tell you what the law is, Boyle told the crowd. I'm here to tell you what you can get away with. There were some pretty unsavory characters at this event. Four speakers have had their homes raided by the FBI for their ties to terrorist groups, or alleged ties to terrorist groups. And one attendee, Jesse Nivelle, was federally charged for working on behalf of the Russian government. One anarchist distributed his homemade magazine that included drawings of machetes and the essay In Defense of Looting. An anarchist at the conference passed around copies of his magazine. Can you imagine if this were conservatives or Republicans doing this stuff? It'd be on the front page of the New York Times and the Washington Post. Did you hear anything about it? No, I know you didn't. Nobody did. But I'll bet the Chicago Democrats are pretty worried. I'll bet the DNC is pretty worried. Because Chicago has enough problems. And the administration of this Mayor Brandon Johnson is definitely not prepared for the level of protest that these guys are calling for. Alderman Gilbert Villegas, also a Democrat, said that these anti-DNC groups are like January 6th groups because what they're trying to do is obstruct part of the American political process. They're looking to recruit veterans to resist the empire. That's what they're calling it, the empire. He added that he's concerned about the safety of the more than 50,000 visitors expected to visit Chicago for the convention, which will be held at the United Center from August 19th to the 22nd. The Department of Homeland Security is monitoring the threat, according to ABC News, which obtained a bulletin warning that foreign and domestic subversives may view these events as an opportunity to influence or disrupt the U.S. political process. The anti-Israel activists already pose a threat, and since October 7th, when they started showing up to City Hall in droves, shouting over legislators and refusing to leave the building, yelling and screaming, spitting on the aldermen, and it's being tolerated. It's outrageous, though. One of these people doing the yelling and screaming is actually an elected official, Byron Sigcho Lopez, a member of the Chicago City Council. Yeah, Sigcho Lopez was at the march on DNC 2024 conference. He walked up to the podium around 3 p.m. dressed in a shirt trimmed with African kente cloth and addressed the group as his comrades and freedom fighters. "We are committed to fight back. We're not going to be intimidated," he shouted. "Let's see us on the streets. Democracy is defended in the streets." This guy's an elected Democrat and a self-described socialist, agitating for resistance against his own party's convention. Last month, he was before a crowd at City Hall calling for a march on the DNC with or without permits. So these people who are holding office in American government offices are calling for illegal action. Everybody knows what's going to happen in both conventions. Trump in the Republican and Biden in the Democrat. He said, this is bad and worse. You can't even make this stuff up. If I were trying to write a script for some indie film, it'd be turned down. They'd say, this is just too ridiculous. Democratic Alderman Byron Sigcho Lopez. This is an event that was organized by a group called Behind Enemy Lines. When Mayor Johnson was asked if he thought it was okay for this Sigcho Lopez to be there, he said, "I may not agree with his behavior, but I will defend to the death his right to say those things." The Democrats have a real problem in their party right now. A real big problem. He goes, "I wouldn't have done it, and I wouldn't encourage anyone to do it, but it's his right to do it." Really? Okay. And yet all the politicians who spoke to the reporters from the Free Press said no one is challenging his right to express his opinions. What they want to know is why one of the city's leading Democrats would desire to sabotage his own party's convention, and why the governor is hiding behind the First Amendment rather than simply condemning the behavior on political and moral grounds. The governor's responsibility is one of public safety at a major important event for Chicago on the national stage, mind you. This is not a question of free speech. It's about whether visitors are going to be safe during the convention. Now, I had mentioned a couple of weeks ago that I was seriously considering getting my media credentials and going to the convention just for old time's sake, you know, a Democratic convention in Chicago. Been there, done that. Was pretty awful. But no. This is going to erupt in a lot of violence. And I'm not interested in getting hurt. These people shut down roadways so that emergency first responders can't get through. These people are trying to have a violent protest. They're not even pretending that it's going to be a civil protest. They're handing out flyers with pictures of machetes on them, screaming at cops, "Shame, shame." I don't know about the rest of you, but this whole defund the police thing scared me. Good. And now you're going to see what happens when you defund the police and a bunch of violent activists show up at a Democratic National Convention. It does not turn out well. Mm-mm. You should see, they were posing for pictures at this March on DNC meeting. Education is a right, not just for the rich and white. Protest is a right, not just for the rich and white. Guess what? The rich and white aren't protesting. According to you, everything is good in their world. Oh, my gosh. And the old hippies are there, the 66-year-olds with the gray hair and the ponytail and, planning how many porta-potties to rent and how to credential and blah, blah, blah. Good luck. I'll be watching from the safety of my couch in the living room in the greater Fort Lauderdale area of Florida, where the governor wouldn't tolerate this kind of crap for 10 minutes. Anyway, don't forget, coming up after me is Eric Erickson, followed by Joe Pags and Lars Larson, the overnight guys. And then Jen and Bill will be back tomorrow to wrap up this week. I can't believe this week is over already. Tomorrow will be Friday. And they'll be back at 9 o'clock. Brian Kilmeade will be on board, and then Dan Bongino at noon. And I'll wrap up my week at 3 p.m. tomorrow. For now, I have one segment left in the show. Stay right where you are. I will be right back. Yep, I'm already getting all the usual emails, people weighing in on this, people who I know who are in the security business and in law enforcement saying, oh yeah, they're getting these notices from the FBI. This is not a very good situation going into Passover. But you're not hearing a lot about that, are you? Of course not, because I don't know. I think it's not a news story until you have like 5 or 6 million Jews dead. You know, if it's only 1,100 or 1,200, that's not going to be a news story for very long. And mind you, if you get just one person beat up at a mosque, that'll be on the front page of the papers forever. We're in a battle for our very souls and for civilization. And I know what side I'm on, but everybody's going to have to pick a side. I think that's what's so fascinating to me is I looked at all these headlines today and I thought, you can pretend that none of this stuff is happening, that there's not really a ton of anti-Semitism. And, you know, maybe it's a minor story that we have a Democratic representative sitting in Congress right now whose daughter has just been kicked out of college for participating in these anti-Semitic protests at Columbia and Barnard and all the rest of it. No big deal. Not a big deal. You're not going to see a news article in the New York Times about that, right? But you will see that the judge is scolding the media at the Trump trial, and that the Don has violated his gag order 7 more times. And I'm telling you, that's to them the important news, not the anti-Semitism run amok in our country right now. That's not considered a big news story. And this kangaroo court in New York City, that's the headline. A politically driven prosecution of a former president of the United States in New York by a lunatic loser named Alvin Bragg. Unprecedented. An abomination. And I'm not just the only person who says that. Just about every legal analyst and legal pundit from both sides are saying this is truly an abomination under the law. And it's hard to believe that the left's corruption and the weaponization of government in this relentless drive to destroy Donald Trump and reelect Joe Biden is going to lead to anything other than more decline, less respect for the rule of law by so many Americans who already believe that the justice system is swallowed up by politics and partisanship. And that's why while you complain about Trump's treatment in New York, you don't do anything about it. Thank God for some of these organizations, like Tom Fitton's group. You know, they're trying to get answers and issuing FOIA requests. You actually had Trump's home in Florida raided. And it was barely a news story, except for a handful of really decent legal organizations like Judicial Watch. Not a big deal. A couple of Jews get shot, a couple of Jews get threatened. It's not a big deal. Not now. We'll see. It's about to rain. That's all I'm going to tell you. And you better be prepared. Get your boots and your umbrellas ready, because things are starting to shake up. You know, the Supreme Court's not liking some of this January 6th stuff that they're hearing about. And if they overturn some of that, you know, all those January 6th committee members, they're starting to really sweat, because it looks like Donald Trump is going to win. And I wouldn't blame him one bit if he just dragged all of them through the same legal monstrosity that they've dragged him through. It's got my support. So I thank you for your time this time. Until next time, my plan is to be back here tomorrow at 3:00 to wrap up this week. That's if it be his will and he delays his coming. Remember, what lies behind us and what lies ahead of us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us. So wherever you are, just be yourself. Everybody else is taken. And then may God bless Israel. May God bless you. And may God bless the United States of America. See you tomorrow at 3:00.
The Joyce Kaufman Podcast has been brought to you by Code Red Roofers, South Florida's leading residential and commercial roof experts. Code Red Roofers, roofers that respond. Call 844-4-CODE-RED or visit CodeRedRoofers.com.